James William was born in Tuasivi Hospital on the big island of Savai'i in Samoa and then grew up in Upolu. He attended Samoa Primary, Leififi Intermediate and then Samoa College for Secondary School, where he was the Ducks of Samoa College in 1997. James went on to attend the National University of Samoa for university prep year and became a scholarship student to University of Canterbury. He has worked as a flight instructor at the Canterbury Aero Club, Operations Department for Polynesian Airlines, pilot for Airlink Papua New Guinea, Air Fiji Airlines in Tonga, both in Fiji and Tonga, South Pacific Express in Samoa, Tiger Air in Singapore, Etihad Airways in Abu Dhabi, and now Jetstar Airways back in Christchurch, New Zealand. We are very, very pleased to have James on our 531 PI Facebook feed live. Now, talofa lava, James, and thank you so much for making time to have a chat with us this morning.
Talofa ete, talofa lava, marole, soifoma lang maro fionga. It's my absolute pleasure to be here. I must say before we start, I'm a big fan, Ete. So yeah, thank you for having me on the show. It's my pleasure and honor to be here.
Wow. For someone who's been flying for such a short time in my mind, you have flown all over the world. What has that experience been like?
It's been a great journey, to be honest. I've actually been, my flying journey started 20 years ago. So, I started here at the Canterbury Air Club 21 years ago, I should say. And it's been amazing, you know, for a boy born in the small islands of Samoa, growing up, you look at this dream. And there's a lot of doubters. Sometimes you doubt yourselves, and it seems like a dream, something that's just out of reach. And to have sort of lived it and accomplished it, and still living it, it's been amazing. It's been an amazing journey, and I have a lot of people to thank for it as well. I should say, you know, you never take these journeys on your own. There's always a lot of people propping you up and helping you, and taking it with you. So yeah, it's been great.
Speaking of the dream, when did you first have that dream of flying?
I was a young kid. As long as I can remember, I've always wanted to fly. I remember in Samoa Primary School, they made us write these essays about where we saw ourselves in 20 or 30 years. I can't remember what it was. And in my essay back then, I wrote that I saw myself in the cockpit of a jet. And sure enough, by the time I was 31, I was a jet captain in Singapore. And I reflected on that essay that I wrote all those years ago when I was just a young kid in Samoa Primary, and I thought, wow, here it is, you know. Thankful for it, and thankful to a lot of people for helping me achieve that.
So, when was the first time you actually went on an airplane flight, and what was that like as a young boy?
Oh, as a young boy, probably the first time I went on a plane ride was on Polynesian Airlines from Whangali'i to Pango. We went on a family trip to see my auntie and cousins. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. Can you believe that man can fly? As you take off and you look out the window and you see the trees getting smaller and you think, oh, wow, I wish I could do this all the time. And It was even before that I was just looking up at the planes flying, but that was the moment when I thought, wow, this is awesome. And then when I came to Canterbury University, I had a friend in flying school here who he was in flying school at the time, so he took me up on one of his training flights, and I sat in there and I thought, yeah, I'm gonna do this.
Wow. And was that friend a Samoan friend?
Yeah, Richard Best. He was here doing flight training. Then he went back and he was a chief pilot at Polynesian Airlines for many, many years.
And so were you in Canterbury University to become a pilot, or were you studying something else?
No. Yeah, I was a scholarship student here to come do engineering. When I was at UPY and at University in Samoa, I had wanted to do flying and had obviously had asked if I could come away for that. But, you know, as the scholarships work, they select what they need for the country at the time, and they didn't need pilots, they needed engineers. So they sent me to Christchurch to do engineering. I did 1 year of it, to be fair. And while I was here, I did the digging around. I started to think and plan how I could do my flying. And then the next year, with the help of mom and dad, I had a lot of help from mom and dad, some help from the Samoan government as well. You know, they were able to come to the table and give me some partial funding through the help of student loans and all those sorts of things. I was able to carry on and fulfill my dream, so to speak.
Wow. And so when you qualified, what was it like flying the aeroplane from the little boy who sat in the back of that scary flight from Samoa to Tutuila? Because that is a scary flight. When you watch both pilots holding that thing and it's shaking and you think, oh, my goodness, are they trying to hold the plane together? Because that's what was that from that to then being in control of an aeroplane for the first time? What was that feeling like?
Yeah. It was surreal. You know, there are times when I sit up in the flight deck and we're barreling down the runway for takeoff and we get airborne and I'm looking around and watching the ground, you know, fade below me. And I remember those times from my childhood. And I think, wow, you know, we've come a long way. And I say we because there's a lot, you know, my wife, my kids. I've dragged them all around the world with me. Like I said, my parents and siblings and everyone who's helped me, we've all been on this journey together. And yeah, it's quite amazing to reflect back on the journey that little boy has taken till now.
And your own children, your own family, they must be enriched by the fact that they have lived in all of these different places, because I've found personally every time I've traveled overseas, I've always come back with a wider vision of the world and of life and more accepting of different people and different cultures. How has it been for them growing up in all of those different places?
Absolutely. Nail on the head there. I think it gives you a broader view on the world, sort of being able to travel and see how it's done in different places, in different cultures, just all over the world. It's really, really helped the children out. So I've noticed that coming home. It's, you know, it helps their, like I said, their social skills, the education you receive overseas it's amazing. And like I said, it just gives you a broader view on the world, and the kids have loved it. They've loved it. My youngest daughter was born in Singapore, and the two younger ones virtually grew up in Singapore and Abu Dhabi, and they're only just now sort of experiencing the New Zealand life, which is one of the reasons why we wanted to bring them back. They've had that experience, which is an amazing experience, and now we wanted to give them something sort of closer to home. There's no real jobs in Samoa for me at the moment. So New Zealand obviously is our second home. And we want to give them this experience. We've got family here and the culture here and that sort of thing that we want to instill in them while they're still young. But up to this point, they've had an amazing experience overseas.
Samoan Language Week this week, you yourself being born in Samoa. How important has your language and your culture been to you in terms of navigating the career that you've navigated?
Oh, it's a big part of our lives. You know, obviously you leave home and you go halfway around the world, but your mind is still at home. You know, you can't leave your culture behind. What's the old adage? You can take the boy out of the island, you know, but you can't take the island out of the boy. Well, as Samoan say, you can take the coconut out of the island. And so it's been important to me to try and instill some of that with the kids. Everywhere we've gotten involved with Polynesian groups, Samoan groups. So for example, in Abu Dhabi, when we were there, we got involved with the Polyfest group. And it's great for the kids because, you know, through song and dance, you learn about language and culture back home. And now we're back here in New Zealand. And again, the kids are part of the Polyfest group here in Christchurch. They just had Polyfest in March. And, you know, they're learning Samoan songs that we all learned when we were kids. They're singing. It's amazing for me to hear them singing and see them up there dancing. You know, the Ma'ululu or the Whakaupaki and the Tawalunga, and think, oh, yeah, you know, we may not be home, but language and culture is still a big part of their upbringing. Very important, yeah.
COVID-19, of course, that decimated the airlines industry. How did that affect you and your family life?
It affected us in a big way. And to be fair, when I look back on it now, it's still affecting us, but we're very lucky, you know. And what I mean by that, it is we left Abu Dhabi in 2019. I got made redundant from Etihad Airways. They were downsizing. And so there were opportunities to stay in the Middle East. You know, we had job offers and that, but we had been away from New Zealand for 15 years by this point. And we thought, you know what, let's take the redundancy. Let's go home and let's settle in and instill some culture in the kids. So we came back in 2019, and I second-guessed myself for a long time. And then 2020 hit, and COVID hit, and all my colleagues still in the Middle East, still in Asia, most of them have lost their jobs now. Most of them have been made redundant, and a lot of them are heavily, heavily affected by COVID-19. For my part, we were all stood down, put on leave without pay for 10 months from March last year when we went into lockdown till January this year, just a few months ago. I wasn't flying, you know, we were grounded, and we've only just recently started back flying. So yeah, it's affected us in a big way, but I do consider myself lucky for making that move in 2019, just before COVID hit. But it's been devastating to a lot of friends and families overseas. And I just want to acknowledge them.
How close are you with other Samoan pilots? I understand that as colleagues, you would have your own friends at work that you, you know, would communicate with. But is there a sort of like a fraternity of Samoan pilots who stay in touch with one another and keep each other G'd up?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know how the Samoan community works. It's all about coming together as a community. We have chat groups, you know, we have WhatsApp chat groups and Messenger chat groups and that sort of thing. And we keep in touch. I've still got lots of Samoan friends in the Middle East, in Asia, even here in New Zealand and back in Samoa. We all stay in touch and try and prop each other up and give each other the sort of confidence and motivation. And it's just about having someone to talk to and share stories with. You know, it's all about having confidants and someone who knows where you are and so about headspace and, you know, that sort of thing. So, yeah.
Now, I have spoken to some who have decided to look at pivoting their careers at this point in their lives, considering other options. For you, it's still the passion. It's still what you want to do. No consideration of going off in another direction?
Oh, absolutely. It's still my passion. You know, there's no question about that. However, one thing that 2020 has taught me, it's taught me that I should look at a backup plan or a plan B. So I'm definitely exploring other options as sort of a side hustle, if you will. During 2020, when I wasn't flying for 10 months, I did other things like, I started driving courier vans for Post, because you can't go 10 months without doing anything. I even joined the COVID vaccination program. So I was doing COVID vaccination support for several months. And just wanted to do my bit to get in the fight against this thing that's devastated thousands and tens of thousands of lives. So that when we look back, you know, in years to come, I can say, yeah, I was part of that fight. But in terms of longer-term plan Bs, I'm definitely considering all options. And but for now, flying is still the passion.
And in terms of COVID-19, your fight against COVID-19 and vaccination that you've just mentioned, have you been vaccinated?
Oh, yeah, 100%, fully vaccinated. As a pilot, we're considered border workers because, you know, we're back flying the Tasman and we're at the border all the time. So I've been fully vaccinated. And I've also been able to get all my household contacts vaccinated. So my wife, family. So we are fully vaccinated. And, you know, just want to mention, I think it's a good thing. And I think people should get it if they can, because, you know, the sooner we can all build up some form of immunity, this thing, the better for everyone, including our brothers and sisters back home in Samoa. You know, the border there is still shut. And the sooner we can do our bit to help them open that border, the better, so that we can all go home and see our folks and family in Aina, you know.
And finally, what is the one thing that you dislike most about being a pilot, and then the one thing that you love the most about being a pilot?
The one thing I dislike the most, I think most pilots will agree with me and say, is probably the roster. You know, these back-of-the-clock flights, these red-eye flights, if you will, going on those, doing that over the course of several decades can take its toll on you. There are many times where you're constantly tired, and then you're living away from your family, living out of a suitcase, you know, for days on end. That can be a novelty in itself, but there are times when, you know, it gets a bit tired. However, that is what we signed up to do, and I'm not complaining about it. The one thing I love the most about it, there are many things. I can't put my finger quite on one. For one, you know, we're up there in the sky defying the laws of physics and gravity. I think that's an amazing feat of mankind. The best thing I've enjoyed through my career is meeting new people from different cultures, from different nationalities. It's helped me grow as a person. It's helped my family grow as people. You know, for example, going flying in Abu Dhabi, there would be no two people from the same country. You know, you'd look at your crew list and you'd have people from Russia, people from Asia, people from Western Europe, people from America, and, you know, one boy from Samoa. And it was I loved that part of it. I still do.
Absolutely wonderful, and I've absolutely loved our chat. Unfortunately, the news is coming up at 10 o'clock. James William, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure chatting, and we'll look forward to perhaps chatting again in the not-too-distant future.
The pleasure has been mine. Yeah, it's been great. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. Yeah. You're listening to Early Edition with Ete. That was James William, Samoan pilot, now based in Christchurch, but has been flying for more than 20 years now, all over the world, literally. What a pleasure having a chat with Captain, I guess you would call him, if they were flying, Captain James William.